Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
How many of you are ready for a word from God today? Amen. I preached something 2 weeks ago in the 9 a.m. service. And it's funny, preaching's a funny thing. It was what I ended up preaching the most about was the least amount in my notes. And it's the thing that everybody talked about the most. And I've got great parents. How many of you love Bishop Steve and Pastor Becky? I love them. They do more for me now than they've ever done, and I so appreciate and honor them every chance I get. Bishop is my hero. He's the greatest preacher on the face of the planet. I mean, bar none. No one's even close. So when he's in the house, you notice I preach from here this way. Very rarely do I ever venture this way, because me and him talk about preaching all the time. We go to conferences, get in the car. And Bishop's like, that was the worst message I've ever heard from so-and-so. So I'm always preaching over here thinking, what is he thinking over there? And so very rarely do I ever leave this pulpit and think, my God, that's the best I've ever preached. If that doesn't get the job done, then I need to go sell shoes, because that's the best I got. But very rarely do I ever walk back behind the stage and Bishop says, that was good. That was some good preaching. Now, when he does that, man, I feel like, come on, where's the rock? Because I need to fight somebody now, because I got some confidence. So he's mentioned it two or three times. I preached 2 weeks ago on the Rhema word. And he even said on Wednesday night, he said, I wish you'd unpack that a little more. And so I've unpacked a little bit more of that. And so if you're here for the first time, or you weren't here 2 weeks ago at 9 a.m., it's online. It's called Step Out, I think. Get Out of the Boat. I forgot what it's called. But it's a great word. You know, the title doesn't matter. It's a great word. So go listen to that. That's your homework. But let's dive in right here. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith cometh by hearing, not reading. Not reading. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Matthew 4:4. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want to preach for just a few moments on the title and subject, one word, Rhema. That's it, Rhema. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've come for a Rhema word. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. How many of you are texters? You like to text. How many of you are two-handed texters? I challenge anybody to a text-off using only their right thumb. I am the best in the world. One thumb is all I need, and I got big, fat, chubby boy thumbs. And I'm still, I can type, and I'm just my thumb is all I use. And thank God I got big hands, and so I can reach the whole keyboard without having to shift the phone around. And so I'm a big texter. The problem with texting a lot of times is you don't get the feel of the attitude of the sender. And a lot of times, I know Pastor Mandy, I had made plans for us to go to P.F. Chang's last Sunday after church. And her mom had made plans for us to come to dinner after church. And so I told her, Genesis says you're to leave your father and your mother. And no, I didn't tell her that. This is what I said. I'm going to P.F. Chang's. You can do whatever you want to do. But I was craving some Chinese food, y'all. Whataburger wasn't doing it for me. I had to go get some Chinese food. So she texted her mom and said, Mom, appreciate the invite, something of that, but I'm going to go with Brandon to P.F. Chang's. To which Ramona, the sweetest woman on the face of the planet, my mother-in-law, who usually is very eloquent in her speaking, lots of words, responded with one letter, K. For the rest of the day, Mandy said, my mom's mad at me. You know you got a stern mama when you're 33, married for 15 years, two kids, teenager and preteen, and you're scared of your mama who's 20 miles away, who you ain't lived with for 15 years, all because of one letter, K. And a lot of times, I think that we misread Scripture because we don't understand the heart of God. And a lot of times, we miss the revelation because we don't see how God said it, how God presented it. One of my pet peeves with texting is a thing they call group texting. I don't need to be in a group. If I want to talk to 10 people, they will each get a text from me that is individual to them and whatever we are working on. So I am the king, and Andrew Willis, he says, man, you're ruthless. I am the king on Facebook of leaving group private messages. And the thing about when you leave them on Facebook is it actually says Brandon Fender has left this conversation. And Andrew's like, man, that guy was getting ready to dig wells and build missions. And he's like, man, he sent out this request for us as pastors to sow money. He said that thing wasn't out there 30 seconds. And I see Brandon Fender has left the conversation. I don't like the group aspect. And see, we don't serve God in a group way. It's an individual relationship between us, between me and my Savior, between you and your Savior. The power of the Word of God is so awesome that whoever's preaching up here can preach one word, and there can be 100 different receptions of that word based on how we know God, how we view God, and what we are going through. So I want to encourage you, when you pray for your pastors and you pray for leadership, you ought to pray that they hear from God in such a way that when they speak, they can speak to somebody that's been following Jesus for 40 years and somebody that is their first time in a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. And so I believe that God sends group text, but I also believe that God is speaking to individuals one-on-one, and that is the reason that when somebody preaches, somebody on the third to back row over here can be healed, somebody over here, their prodigal son can come home, somebody over here can get the job and promotion that they've been praying for, somebody over here on the third row can walk down and get saved. Why? Because the Word of God is alive. It is not one-dimensional. It is not even three-dimensional. It is infinite in the dimensions that the Word of God has. I encourage you as a church, fall in love with the Word of God. Don't fall in love with preachers and preaching. Fall in love with your Bible. Fall in love with the author of your Bible. Get you a highlighter. Get you some pens and mark out some things. Journal some things. Write some things down that God has spoken to you. So the group texting is... it's something that I don't enjoy. The other thing I don't enjoy is during Christmas time, I don't enjoy getting a copy and pasted Christmas greeting. At least put my name on it. But not Merry Christmas, we love your family. Whose family? We're declaring God's best for you this year. Who's me? Who are you declaring that for? And so I like to receive personalized greetings. Pastor Brandon, Merry Christmas. Brandon, Merry Christmas. I'm praying for you, Mandy, Tyler, and Jaden. I'm praying that your family is getting ready to step into the greatest season of your life. I declare that your business is going to grow. I declare that you're going to walk in health. I want something personalized. And so when we read the Word of God, although it is written to every person that has ever lived on the face of the earth, we have to make sure that we read it in a personal way and understand that God's Word is personalized to us. And so when you read the Word of God, you understand that there is a group dynamic, but however many times you understand the group dynamic, you have to understand that Jesus was always dealing with the crowds in one way, but he dropped massive revelation to those that he was in personal relationship with, and he took the 5,000 that he fed with fish and loaves, and he took them down to the 12 that followed him. Out of the 12, he had 3, and out of the 3, he had 1. I want to encourage you. you, if it's the last thing you hear from me today, I want to encourage you. You are 1 out of 7.5 billion people. God cares about you. God cares about your personal situation. God cares about your house, your children, your marriage, your money, your purpose. Well, what about what's going on in North Korea? God's got it in control, but God's eyes are zeroed in. That's why he is God and we are not, because we're not very good at doing a whole lot of things at once. God can do everything you need him to do, and God is longing for a personal relationship and a personal line from you to him. How many of you remember party lines? Well, my dad bought a ranch one time that had party lines. Man, I enjoyed that ranch. Just get on the phone and listen to everybody's conversation. What I love about when God talks to me is he talks to me. What I love when God speaks a personal word, he speaks it to me. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. I'm going to quickly go through this because this is what I preached 2 weeks ago. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go on the other side, and he sent the multitudes away. When he sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them. Somebody say them. Jesus spoke unto them and said, "Fear not, be of good cheer, it is I." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water." There's two words used in the Greek, and it's what we're going to preach about for the next few moments. This first word is logos. Logos is the constant written word of God. 66 books that are inspired and God-breathed through the pen of men, but God ordained and God breathed. It is what you read on a daily basis. It is what we preach from on a weekly basis. It is the logos of God. It is the written word that Moses began to write, and that Paul would write, and that the apostle John and Peter and James would write. And it is the logos that we receive instruction for life. And not a generic instruction, but it is a constant. It is always there. It's always something you can go to. But logos is for them. But how many of you know when you get to a certain point in your life, you're not wanting a word for them. You're wanting a word for you. You're wanting a word that is tailor-made. You're wanting a word that fits your situation perfectly. And so Peter was in that place, that when Jesus came walking on the water and they said, "It's a ghost," and the Bible says Jesus said to them, he said, "Do not be afraid, be of good cheer, for it is I, Jesus, I have come to you." Now understand this, the logos word is what got Peter into the boat. The Bible says he constrained his disciples, put them in a boat, and said, "I'll meet you on the other side." Logos is what gets you started in your journey. Logos is what gets you in the boat of life. Logos is what transports you from point A to point B. Logos is the thing that goes into effect the day you get saved and to say, "God, where do I go from now?" Logos is what starts your motor and gets you going in the right direction. But logos is what put Peter in the boat, but it's a rhema word that got Peter out of the boat. So logos works for every believer. Logos works for every believer, but rhema is something that most people never tap into. And the reason I know they don't tap into it is this, because most of us don't follow the logos in its fullness. So if we don't follow the written word, why would God speak a spoken word? And so if logos is the constant, that word constant, written word of God, rhema is the instant spoken word of God. Logos came from the beginning of time all the way through. We see Logos in Genesis 1:1 when God created the heavens and the earth. And we see Logos coming all the way through. But then God starts speaking to certain people and it's called Rhema. I'm talking to somebody today that you didn't come for a 3-point sermon. You didn't come for a preacher to make you feel good. You fought your way through hell to get to this building today. And you said, God, I don't care if Bishop's preaching. I don't care if Brandon's preaching. I don't care if Pastor Manny's preaching. When I get to that house and I get to your spirit, I need you to speak not a logos word. I need you to speak an instant word for what I'm going through. Somebody say a rhema word. Logos puts you into the boat. Rhema is what gets you out. One out of 12 disciples asked God for a rhema word. He said, it is I. Do not be afraid. He said that to them. But Peter said, I'm not looking for a them word. I'm looking for a me word. And this is what Peter said. He said, Jesus, if that is really you, then call me to come and walk to you on the water. He said, I know what you've told anybody else, but Jesus, if that's really you, I want a rhema word right now to call me to do something that nobody else has done. To call me to do something that I've never done. To call me to be a part of a miracle. Check this out. Logos is daily instruction for living. Rhema is for the miraculous. Logos teaches me how to love my wife. Logos teaches me how to raise my children and be a father. Logos teaches me how to be a productive member of society and community and to impact culture. But sometimes I don't need an instruction that is for everybody. Sometimes I'm at the place where I'm saying, God, nobody is around. I don't need a word for them. I need a word for me. I need you to speak something into me that will cause the miraculous to happen. I don't need logos. I've got logos. I got it on my phone. I got 30 Bibles on my shelf. I got my study Bible on my desk. I've got all the logos I want at any time. But listen, I've got to tap in to the rhema word saying, God, logos has gotten me this far, but I need a rhema. I need you to speak an instant word. I need you to do something in me that, Lord, only a rhema word can do. Somebody say yes. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing. This is a promise. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. Not reading, hearing by the word of God. Not talking about logos here. It's talking about the God of the universe that is literally speaking into your life. You say, God doesn't speak to me like that. No, you don't listen like that. God is always speaking to me. When I ask him to talk, God starts talking. And the moment I quit listening doesn't mean that he quits talking. He is always talking. And sooner or later, I've got to push everything else out of my mind and say, God, if I'm going to receive a rhema word, that's why I always think it's so funny. You go in and you say all the millennials, all the cool kids at Starbucks with their Bibles, taking selfies and Instagram pics of them studying their Bible at Starbucks. I like Starbucks. I like a large white mocha frappuccino, extra whipped cream, extra caramel. You got to go extra, guys. Got to go extra. We serve an abundant God. However, that's not a conducive place to study. And you might get logos there, but it's why David would shut himself up in his secret place of thunder and say, God, they're wanting to stone me. God, I've made a mistake. God, I've messed up my marriage, and I'm not leaving my secret place of thunder until I get a rhema word that will literally shift me from the place I am to the place you've called me to be. Somebody say rhema. I don't want logos word only.
And I'm not denigrating Logos Word, but Logos Word is plentiful. 66 book of Logos Word. Over 3,000 promises are in the Logos Word. But there are so many times that I've been reading and I've been contemplating. And I'm saying, God, is this something I should do now? And it's the God that I serve that speaks up and gives me a rhema word. And he said, Logos got you into the boat, but I'm about to send you a rhema that puts you out into a place you've never been before. You're going to do things you've never done before. I don't need Logos. I need a rhema word. Reason you come to Living Way is we're a rhema church. In the middle of praise and worship, God's dropping rhema word. In the middle of an altar call, God is dropping rhema word. In the middle of this sermon, you're sitting back on a purple padded pew and God's dropping rhema word. You're hearing something that I'm not saying. That's coming straight from the throne room of God because you said, God, I love the Logos and it got me this far, but rhema is going to take me the rest of the way through. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Faith comes, that was a good one, y'all. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God, hearing the rhema. Logos and rhema working in tandem. Many times these words are preached and used as interchangeable, but they're not interchangeable. They stand alone. The written word and the spoken word, Logos, is the constant written word of God. But rhema is so different. Logos is the general knowledge of God, but rhema is so different. Logos is the education of the believer. And this is what we believe, and this is how we believe it, and it's very doctrinal in its delivery, and it's very doctrinal in its purpose, teaching us what to believe and how we believe. But then rhema comes along, and rhema is an action word. Rhema is alive. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Greek word used is not logos, it's rhema. Faith specifically comes by hearing a rhema word of God. The Bible says this, how will they hear without a preacher? Now, I'd love to preach that in such a way where it makes you feel like you need me, but you don't need me because David was the best preacher David had ever heard. David encouraged himself. There's been times, I don't mind telling you, there's been times that I preached to myself in the mirror, saying, you're not going to go out like that. God's got a plan for you. I know it doesn't look right now, and I know there's waves, and I know there's wind, and I know there's uncertainty. And then God steps in and says, Brandon, that's some good word, but how about you take a seat and let me preach to you for a while? And then God starts talking, you're my chosen. You're a peculiar people. I brought you out of darkness into my marvelous light so that you could show forth the praises of me, your God. And God starts preaching to me. Rhema is the spoken word of God directly to men and women. I love the Logos, but I live, I breathe, I have my being on a rhema word. Faith specifically comes from hearing the rhema of God. Logos, the written or said word of God. Rhema, the action word of God. Rhema is to build up the body of Christ. It's to bring revelation. It's to bring revelation. That means when you read Logos and you don't understand, the Spirit comes in with a rhema word and makes it all make sense in your spirit. How many times have you and I read the Word of God where we shook our heads saying, God, I don't know what you're trying to say there, only for the next time we open it up in that passage and we see something that we never saw there before. That's the rhema word of God coming into tandem and contact with the Logos word of God. Rhema is a way. In a way, and I love this, is faithing the word of God. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm going to get a t-shirt. Faith, everything. Fear, nothing. Faith is not a noun. Faith is a verb. It's not something that I have. Faith is something that I do. Fear nothing. Faith everything. When I get sick, I faith my healing. When I'm broke, I faith God's manifestation of finances in my life. When things aren't right in relationships, I faith them the way they're supposed to be. When I see things in our culture that I don't like, I start faithing things and I start creating my world and I start speaking to my world. Faith comes by rhema. Every man is given a measure of faith. Your faith grows from a rhema word. Rhema word builds faith. The writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, said in 11 verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. Without rhema, it's hard to please God. Because rhema is tailor-made for you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, the rhema of God. Hebrews 4:12 says this in the NIV version, for the word of God is alive and active. That's a rhema word. It's not words. It's not poetry. He's not a better version of Shakespeare. You read the Bible, it's alive. The reason we stand for the reading of the Word of God is because Jesus is that Word. It is alive. It is active. When the rhema Word of God hits your faith, good things happen. The Word of God is alive. That's why if you're bored with it, you're reading Logos, you haven't gotten a rhema. I'm never bored when I go to the Word of God. God always shows me. God always speaks something new. God always reminds me who I am. God always shows me a promise. I always leave encouraged when I close that book or shut down the app. Why? Because I'm not reading words. I'm not reading for an education. I'm reading for a rhema. God, speak to me so that something in my life happens. Peter did not walk on water because of logos. He didn't walk on water because of a knowledge of God. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "It is I. I'm Jesus. Don't be afraid. Take courage." And what did Peter say? "If it's you, give me a rhema." I'm going to help somebody. The next time the devil lies to you, ask him for a rhema. Because the only thing the devil can do is contort the logos. You go to Genesis, God hath said. He changes God hath said with an exclamation point to hath God said with a question mark. The only thing the devil can do is manipulate, pollute, corrupt, and twist the logos word of God. But Sister Gloria, I found out a long time ago that he cannot touch the rhema word of God. He cannot talk like God. He cannot declare like God. He don't have authority like God. And so when the devil shows up and starts talking to me, I say, "I'm going to need you. You quoted that logos pretty good. Any devil in hell can read the Bible, but I need to know, when you speak, is there a rhema? Do you have power behind your words? Can you shift mountains? Can you take out the enemy? If you can't do it, then I'm not listening to you. I put you on mute and I say, God, give me a rhema word." Come on, Eve. Come on, Adam. You sold everything out when they manipulated. We still have it today. Women aren't supposed to preach. They're supposed to be quiet. That's them shifting the text around. That's them playing smoke and mirrors with the text. They're taking it out of context. Paul was writing to one church that was having one problem. And it didn't matter if it was women or men that were doing that. But in that case, it happened to be a woman. He was not saying that woman can't preach. He was not saying that woman can't lead. The devil will always, he will always misconstrue and bring conflict to the text. And that's when I say, God, I know what your word says, but I need a rhema from heaven that is going to amen the logos that you have already spoken to me. Somebody say rhema. The rhema word. Man, I'm preaching myself happy. I want to go get in my secret place of thunder in the next half hour and say, God, give me a word that you've never given to anybody else. Give me a word that is specific to Brandon. Give me a word that is going to launch my family closer to destiny, closer to purpose. I know the Logos. I'm in the Logos every day, but the Spirit of God gives me access to the Rhema word of God. Somebody say yes. Peter required that Christ give him a specific word. The Word of God does three things. I got to hurry through these. Number one, the Word of God is creative. The Word of God makes something out of nothing. Rhema makes something out of nothing. Rhema is a transition faith. It is a transition word. It is an active word. It's not just moving on you and in you. It's moving you. See, we can shake and quake on Sunday morning all we want. But if we're the same person this time as we were this time last year, then us shaking and quaking on Sunday mornings ain't doing nothing. I need a rhema that doesn't just get in me and on me. I need a rhema that literally pulls me, pushes me, provokes me, gets me to where God has called me to be. The Word of God is a creative word. Go to Genesis chapter 1. He creates the world with just words. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand. What do we understand it through? Through faith. Through rhema word causing action called faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Don't worry about your pending light bill. Because your world is in the world that God created with a rhema creative word. I cannot fear when the doctor tells me something, Michael, that's not supposed to be in my body, because my body is in the world, in my world, that is in the world that God created by His word. I cannot get upset when things don't go my way in my world, because my world is in the world that was created by His rhema word. Anybody who has trouble with faith does not have trouble with the Word of God. The Logos is there. They believe the Logos. But the Logos educates. The Rhema moves. That's why you have some people, they can lay in their sick bed for 10 years quoting the Word. That's why we can put it all over our refrigerators and we can make cute little Facebook posts that I'm more than a conqueror. That's great. But all that is Logos. On your refrigerator, it's Logos. On the plaque on your wall, it's Logos. But God is looking for a generation that says, God, I'm not looking for a Logos word. I want what's on my refrigerator to come in me, to come out me. I need a word. Notice I'm standing on the pew on this side of the building, not on that side. It's a creative word. It's a creative word. It's a creative word. A rhema word. It's a creative word. I tell young people all the time, I put my arm around a young person last night, and I said, remember, you create the world you want to live in. You create it. Don't let anybody else create it for you. Don't live in somebody else's world. If God created the world with His word, you can create your world with His word. The Word of God, it's a creative, creative masterpiece. Number two, the Word of God is change producing. Here's a little known scripture. We always say the first part, we don't say the last part. I love this scripture. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not the word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Chris preached this so great at camp, or maybe it was here at Catalyst on Saturday night. You hit a rock 100 times, and it breaks on the 101st time. Didn't break on the 101st time. It broke a little every time you hit it. But you didn't see the manifestation until you hit it the 101st time. This is going to bless somebody. Rhema is a change-producing word, meaning I can hit it with logos all day long. And I think it was Chase Austin who said that I've got to Floyd Mayweather until I can Mike Tyson. And so the logos is Floyd Mayweather just hitting you with these little rabbit punches and just getting you in position and always getting you in position. Why? Because sooner or later, there's a Mike Tyson coming. That's a rhema word. See, some of you, you've been hitting your problem with the word of God. That's good. Hit it. Jab it. Jab it. Get it in position. Get it tired out. Put it on the ropes. Get that thing worn down with the logos word. But what the devil's not expecting, he's rope-a-doping you. He's doing just like Muhammad Ali used. He was laying on the ropes saying they're going to tire themselves out. But what he does not know is in your back pocket, you got something called a rhema word. And when the devil least, oh my God, I'm going to preach myself happy. When the devil least expects it, he thinks you're worn out. He thinks you're tired. He thinks you're giving up on the word. And he don't know there's a rhema word. Come on. There's a rhema word. Produces change. It's like a fire. It's like a hammer. Somebody's been hitting that rock. You've been hitting that rock for 6 months. You've been hitting that rock for 3 days. You've been hitting that rock over and over. And you're saying the blood of Jesus is against you. You're saying greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Your logo is in that thing. You're setting yourself up for what God is getting ready to do. You get the logos in you. Because as long as you've got the logos in you, it's setting you up for a rhema word. Setting you up for a rhema word. I'm going to buy the CD after this. I promise you. I box Tyler all the time. He wants nothing to do with me boxing. I put him in the corner and I just don't really hit him, but come on, Dad, stop, stop, stop. I got to get my bluff on him now. He's going to be a big boy. He wears a size 12 shoe. I'm not going to be able to box him forever. But what I'm doing is I'm letting him know what I'm capable of. The logos puts you in position. But the rhema lets the world know just what my God is capable of through me. When I get a rhema word, when I get a spoken word, when I get a life-giving word. Can I go one more? One more. Number three. The word of God is collaborative. The word of God is creative, it's change-producing, it's collaborative. Meaning the word of God does not work by itself. Even when I test that theory against God, when he's by himself, God says, couldn't find anywhere he'd want anyone to swear by, so I swear by myself. He said, I give faith to my own word. Genesis 1:1, nothingness. God says, let there be. It is his word mixed with a faith that when faith and the word collide, something miraculous happens. So God's word in your Bible, on your bookshelf, is powerful. But unless the rhema word gets to your heart and causes you to move, it is just word on the shelf. It might as well be Shakespearean poetry. But for those of us that understand Hebrews 4:2, that when we mix faith with the word of God, that when our faith intersects a rhema word of God, that collaboration takes us to levels that we have never lived at before. That's why it's going to take more than a shout and an amen on Sunday morning. It's going to take you saying, God, I don't care who preached the word, but I got a rhema word today. And God, when I leave this building, what you have spoken to me, what you have spoken about me, I'm going to put my faith on. We're going to collaborate. We're going to get together on some things. And when I show up to my job tomorrow, when I show up to the doctor's office tomorrow, God, I'm going to produce what you're I'm tired of being in the boat. God, if that's really you, then give me a rhema word. Don't talk to them. Talk to me. They're not listening. They ain't ready. But here I am, Lord, speak. Stand on your feet. So much more, so much more, so much more. Rhema, Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, remember, Jesus is all God. He's all man. He's tempted of the adversary. What was the adversary doing? Trying to distort logos. He was telling them what was written. And then Jesus said this. It is written. It is written. He said, there's logos that has prepared me for this moment. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth, that's KJV, proceedeth is not past tense. Proceedeth is proceeds. It's never ended. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the continuing rhema word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil shows up. You're going to die out here, Brandon. You're all alone. Nobody cares. You're a failure. If everybody knew the kind of person you were, all this church would empty out. You're not going to fulfill purpose. Your marriage is a mess. Your kids are crazy. I say, it is written. What you're saying does not compute.